Blog Talk Radio.
Well, God bless you. I am so happy that you tuned into Prophecy Alive. And on this broadcast, I'm going to be teaching concerning the fivefold ministry. And I want everyone to prepare yourselves in prayer and grab your word and have an open ear to what God will say on this broadcast. There's such a need for clarity. Such a need for understanding. And we have much, much, listen closely, out of place functions in the body of Christ. There's nothing worse than in any local church to have out of place spiritual functions in the church. It is so important as I began to share this word with you from many of the material that I write and are going to be releasing books and on this and more subject, you know, concerning a displaced anointing. You are listening to Prophecy Alive, and I am your host, the seer prophet Roderick Owensby. We're going to be dealing with the fivefold ministry. Let me say, just in the beginning of this broadcast, very clearly, that true apostles have a unique role to play. It's a very important ministry. It's a unique anointing. And in order for the body of Christ to receive healthy biblical instructions in the person of Jesus Christ, who is our chief apostle, the true apostles are the ones that God has given the anointing of governments. Now, I must say the reason why I say true apostles is simply because most of what we see now are out of place callings and anointings. This happens because the spirit of Jezebel, and I have to say this for clarity, when I say Jezebel, and all of us, most of us know she was the wife of King Ahab, this is not a woman spirit. The spirit of Jezebel can be in man or woman, or in ministry, or in marriages, or institutions. It is even, you know, sometimes when you hear that word Jezebel, people think of the church. But I want to bring understanding by the power of God to this spirit. It's even in schools. It's heavy in governmental places, high places. I'm going to say this. The church is the least, listen, of Satan's strategy. Listen closely. Satan is not as much as interested in the church as we make him. The church is God's invisible government yet to be seen. But Satan has a plan that affects everyone. It's in high places. So we must understand that God has released in this hour revelation and understanding concerning the fivefold ministry. And if you know someone that really needs to understand the fivefold ministry, I'm going to be dealing with it on this broadcast. And I will give them a call, whether it be pastors, teachers, apostles, prophets, regardless, singers, whoever you are, in the body of Christ and in your local assemblies, especially leaders. We want to share this with you. Now, understand this. Especially to pastors, it is so important that pastors understand the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our chief apostle. Jesus is our chief apostle. And I'm going to read this to you before I go further, because I want everyone to understand this. I'm going to the book of Hebrews, and I'm going to read, I'm going to chapter 3. I believe it is chapter 3. And I want to read this, and excuse the sound of the pages of the Bible. It's so important that we understand this. Here I am in Hebrews chapter 3, and I'm going to read verse 1. Hebrews 3 and 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Okay, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. You notice it didn't say Jesus Christ. It said Christ, Christos, anointed one, Jesus. And this is saying Jesus, verse 1 of Hebrews 3, he is our chief apostle. It's, first of all, the fivefold ministry, a heavenly calling. Some have said titles. Some have minuted these callings as churchy and earthly. But let's bring it higher than that. Verse 1 of Hebrews 3. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Okay, this is to all believers. Let us consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Verse 2 says, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. In other words, listen to this. This calling to the fivefold ministry, it is a heavenly calling. Our apostle, Christ Jesus, who received this heavenly calling, was faithful. That word is more important than any other word, faithful. So the fivefold ministry I'm going to be sharing tonight, because I just don't want people to get it twisted concerning the fivefold ministry. So let me say this, and I want to say this as clear as I can. And I say this not to belittle anyone. Most of the time, I don't even use my apostolic office. And I had a person ask me, you are an apostle. And they said to me, rather, you are an apostle, but you feel more comfortable as a prophet. Because it takes the prophet to introduce the apostolic. Now listen closely. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. The foundation of the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. John the Baptist, the baptizer, was baptizing men. And here comes our chief apostle, Christ. And John the Baptist, the forerunner of the apostle, was instructed to baptize Christ. This is why there's a strong move of God with the seer prophet. We must understand, for the function of the apostles to be evident in ministry, it takes that office of the prophet. Now understand this. We're going to be talking about the fivefold ministry, and I want to minister tonight because I want to give clarity and understanding in this particular office. And this is going to bless you. Listen real close. As I said earlier, I say this not to belittle anyone or any ministry. I'm not into that. I'm not into the haters' language. I want to share this. Most of what we call now apostles are not apostles. Now listen closely. It takes more than a website, people. It takes more than a business card. It takes more than a nice flyer to become an apostle. It takes more than having a network of churches. You have people who have several churches, but that doesn't make one an apostle. You may have many churches under you, and it's getting to the point where if someone recognizes someone to be a true apostle, they want to know how many churches are under you. But the only thing that should be under us is Satan, sickness, debt, and so on. Now listen, it takes more than that, those things, to become an apostle. And the church, the body of Christ, is in trouble in this area. Many have seriously dumbed down to what an apostle is. This must change. Let's look at the church of Ephesus or Ephesus. That church was praised for having tested those who say that they are apostles and are not, Revelation 2 and 2, and have found them liars. Their self-promotion didn't qualify them to these believers at Ephesus as of being an apostle. So it takes more than just the name. You see, that name apostle and prophet sounds good to the enemy. I'm going to say it again. That word apostle and prophet sounds good to the enemy because it's a clue to the enemy to begin it, to begin to send imposters to the body of Christ. And people will begin to support it with their love and their monies. This is why so many people have been found a liar. In the past, there's been different ones that would rise up and claim to be an apostle and have fooled the people out of their money and led the people astray because they were not sent by God. There have been many prophets that have led people astray and have profited from calling themselves prophets. And we're going to get into the biblical proof. I pray on this segment, Prophecy Alive. And we're going to help those understand your calling. And listen, we've got a whole lot of liars, a good number of liars bursting on the scene. And putting mud to the waters for true apostles. So when the true apostles are promoted by heaven, people will have a problem because they're so used to a false. It's like a woman being with a no good man. And about time a good man comes along, she won't understand or know how to treat this man or vice versa. We have this in the body of Christ. Many in the body of Christ are used to false, and they have believed that the falsehood is of God because of their loyalty. Now let's understand this. God gives grace to the humble. And those who are carry humility are overlooked. Okay? But the true influence of the apostles and prophets, the true influence is that of heaven and not earth. In other words, when you are in the presence of a true apostle and prophet, you are in the presence of the foundation of the church of heaven. You are in the presence of that which Christ has built the church upon. And he said this, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." Why did Jesus say that to Peter? Because Peter had the revelation of Christ. He said, after Jesus said, "Who do men say that I am?" Peter had the revelation. He said, "You are the Christ." And I read to you Hebrews 3 and verse 1 about our apostle, Christ Jesus. He was faithful. The credentials of anyone, male or female, that God has called, they are faithful. And faith works by love. Now listen closely. There is an awakening to the fivefold ministry. It's coming faster than ever before. And we got a downside of those who are less than apostles. Read Revelation 2 and 2 about the church of Ephesus. They tested those to see were they truly apostles, and have found them liars. But this downside is ending. Those who are less than apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, they are influencing many who want to properly honor true apostles. Those who are have the heavenly calling, and I said this earlier, these are not titles, Ephesians 4 and 11. These are not titles. People call them titles, but they are according to Hebrews, and I've just read it to you. Read it on your own. These are heavenly callings. But those who are not true apostles and of the true fivefold ministry, the body of Christ has gone through a temporary downside and has gotten a false influence. So people have not honored the true apostles and prophets. And the falsehood, the false fivefold ministry, they are distractors for a season, just a season. But this will be remedied as God continues to shake his house. And I'm telling you, the shaking is here. God is shaking his house. And I promise you, this shaking has come. It has come. An apostle is called and anointed to take the people of God to the top of the mountains. The anointing is not based on their charisma, their money-making ability, their networking ability. It's not based on their personality or their type or their speaking skills or any other natural understood ability. I've been teaching this in the School of Prophets concerning natural gifts. You see, Satan will promote someone who has a natural gift. And Satan, who is a false apostle, false prophet, he looks at one's natural ability, and he will ordain such a person to any office he chooses. So we must understand this. Don't get it twisted. Satan is crowning people in his own fivefold ministry. God has true apostles. Satan has false apostles. God has true prophets. Satan has false prophets, and so on and so on. But as I said earlier, true apostles, it has nothing to do with their natural ability, nothing to do with their charisma. It is heaven's authority. And there's a specific call upon the apostles and prophets, evangelists and pastors and teachers. But I would be dealing with apostles and prophets. It's so important that we understand this. And then there is obedience to that call. It is a profound intimacy with the Godhead. Now, let's take a look at the 12 apostles. And then I want to show you that they had natural qualities. But those natural qualities became their spiritual qualities. And God called them immediately. Jesus knew every man and every woman that he chose to help his earthly ministry. And a call upon our lives is so evident. Whatever you feel your call is, God will give the proof through much prayer and through your seeking God. He will put the right person, as he has done tonight, to help you in this area. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 through 29. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going to start at verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. No flesh is going to glory in the fivefold ministry. You have to understand what glory is. I knew a young man once, and I'm using this as an example. And he was called to preach. And before you knew it, he was called in one of the fivefold ministry. And he was called, and before I knew it, he went from just being a minister to an apostle in a matter of a week. Now, it could be several things. He was already an apostle, or somebody told him wrong. Although there's no time limit on what God can do, it's just like the office of a prophet. The Spirit of God can fall on someone that is sensitive to God and they will prophesy. The Bible talks about many. There were kings who prophesied. King Saul. When the minstrel plays, the Spirit of God can fall on anyone to prophesy. It does not mean that that person walks in the heavenly calling of a seer prophet or a prophet. Moses said, would all the Lord's people were prophets. The word of God tells us in the book of Joel, in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Watch this now. My spirit, God's spirit, on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. The book of Acts, on the day of Pentecost, the people were in the upper room, the believers. There was a sound of a rushing mighty wind. Watch me closely. And the people that were sitting in the upper room, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, came upon them with fire, cloven tongues, like as a fire. So everyone in the place began to prophesy. They began to prophesy. How did they prophesy? They spoke of Jesus. They spoke in tongues to every nation. Every nation heard these people that were not of their nationality speaking in their own language. Now, what was this? This was prophecy. Prophecy is not telling, listen, prophecy is not telling someone about something, or prophesying someone to someone about an area in their lives. Prophecy is a divine witness through the Holy Spirit of Christ. You see, there's only one message. Only one message, and that message is of Christ, Yeshua. The I am that I am, the God of Abraham. It's only one message, his death, burial, and resurrection. Sometimes people say prophecy, and someone prophesied to them, and they may have given them a word of knowledge. So prophecy is not fortune-telling. I had someone asked me in a meeting I was in, I believe in Chicago, and they asked me about someone who had died. Well, I discovered the more I talked to this person, that this person had a spirit on them of a medium. And they were trying to test whether I could speak to the dead. Don't want to? Absolutely not. King Saul got in trouble because he consulted with the witch of Endor. So we can't get, listen, God's people are not, many are leaving mainstream denominations because they don't want God. They're leaving because they want God, and they're searching for somebody who will tell them the truth. They're searching for somebody that is in touch with God. They're searching. And God is shifting people from city to city. You're going to see this in the coming weeks and months and days and even hours. God is speaking to people to come and seek out. You know, the Bible talks about how they search for Elijah. And there is a rise of the Elijah mantle. This anointing is going to bring families together. This anointing is going to bring healing. This anointing is going to bring a liberty that the body of Christ has never experienced in this age. It's going to bring a liberty, this anointing of Elijah. People are going to be free from the bondage of denominations. I say this in love. I say this not putting myself above anyone. I say this because it's true. Sometimes God hides the greater power in glory. And it's sort of in unappealing wrapping paper. The apostles are a prime example of this. Jesus himself is the perfect example of this. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen. God came in flesh, manifested himself not through the household of Caesar and Herod, of a centurion or any other prestigious leader of that time, but rather he came hidden in a young maiden, Mary. Glory, I'm going to try to hold myself together because this is something you must understand, ladies and gentlemen. There's something in you that is hidden with all of the flesh, with all of the trials that you face, wrapped up in your confused mind. You don't know whether you're up or down. But even in the midst of your issues and relationship issues, and some of you don't know whether you want a man or a woman, and that even in all of that mess that you're in, sin, we all have sinned. You, me, and everyone, and come short of the glory of God. But I want you to know, sin is simply a result of being short or the lack of glory. The more glory you have, the less sin you have. Somebody is shouting right now. I'm going to say it again. Dear beloved, the more glory you have, the less sin you have. No glory? Much sin. Much glory, less sin. To no sin. Here is God saving his best through 42 generations. Sent himself in a young maiden called Mary. He was born in a manger. And then, watch this. It took wise men. I'm talking about the fivefold ministry. Only wise people are going to notice the true apostles and true prophets and true evangelists and true pastors and teachers. And I'm going to show you the difference between wise virgins and foolish virgins. Listen, foolish virgins are those that are wrapped up in trying to find somebody with oil to give them. They're wrapped up in borrowing from someone else's anointing to make themselves look like they are anointed. Do you know how many prophets watch other prophets and try to be like them and have started their ministry off of a borrowed anointing? Oh, my God. Learning the ways of someone else and trying to imitate flesh, as I said on the broadcast last night, that's a curse in itself. Do you know how many people who are working, and they may be nationally known and have built up a reputation? I say this not for you to think of anyone. I say this so you can be aware of how Satan is the great deceiver. And there are many who are getting caught in false prophecies and false words of knowledge because they have a borrowed anointing. And they have built a reputation off of being an apostle or prophet. And they did like Matthew 25, the foolish virgins. They've sought others so that they could borrow their oil. But let me tell you the danger of using someone else's oil. When you run out, you're out. When you run out of it, you're out. That's why Elijah said to Elisha, or some say Elisha, he said, if you want a double portion of my spirit, in essence, he told Elisha, Elijah said, if you see me go up. And then he took him to Bethel and Jordan, and he took him to different places. And when you borrow an anointing, you run out. You run out. And when you run out, that's it. Because God didn't give it to you. I don't want nobody else's oil. When I start preaching at 14, I made a habit of saying, I want my own oil. And nobody knew it. I kept saying it to myself. I would see people who I admired, but I kept saying, I don't want that. I want my own oil. And God has done that. So don't borrow. And I'll tell you how you know the people that borrow. They will want a prophecy or a word, but they don't have time to hear the word. They don't have time to receive what that person, apostle or prophet, has in him or her arsenal, the word. They don't want that meditation. They want an oil that they can borrow, and that's it. But the people who God would mightily use, they will listen, as many of you around the world are listening to here, to this Prophecy Alive. And I give God all the glory. My Queen Katrina and I, we make sure that we hear from God. God spoke to me today. He said, I don't want you to minister to people. I want you to minister my word. And then I want you to see there'll be those who call in and they won't want a word. They will receive, and that's been happening. They will receive from the teaching so that they too may be a part of the harvest. So if you really want the word, I'm going to give you an example. In one place is that there was a church planted and there were musicians and they wanted to play. But when it came time for the word, they didn't have time. I fired them. Why? And I was very young then, but I knew even then they wanted to borrow. I said, I don't need you. Because if you don't want the word of God, if you don't want the divine instructions, who are you going to help me help? That's why I'm seeking God for prophetic singers, prophetic musicians, and they're coming. They're here in the spirit, but they're coming. So don't borrow oil. If you hear the word of God, and the word of God grows in you, as the word of God grows, so does the oil of the Spirit. So be wise, virgins. Let's continue this teaching on the fivefold ministry. Now listen to this. God hides the best. He hides, he conceals. If you go to Proverbs 25 and 2, the glory of the Lord to conceal a thing. What's concealed in you? It is the honor of kings to search out. God concealed himself in a maiden, Mary. And it took wise men to discover him. If you want to discover your gift, listen, oh God, listen. Some of you, you know the anointing of the prophetic is upon you. You know the anointing of apostleship is upon you. You know you're called to be an evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Please, I beseech you, I beg you to listen closely. God chose Mary, hid in her Christ. It took the wise men to discover him. Someone asked me, how can I know my gift? The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and he will give it to all men. He doesn't have any partiality. He'll give it, and he won't withhold. And yet wisdom is not sought after as much as spiritual gifts. But when you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, after Apostle Paul deals with dumb idols, he deals with the Gentiles. You were led by these dumb idols. He said the first gift of the Spirit, it wasn't prophecy. It was the word of wisdom, which comes through prophecy, the word of wisdom. So if wise men had to discover Christ, so should you and I discover our heavenly calling by the wisdom of God. Christ is the wisdom of God. To understand apostles are some of the greater gifts that God has given us. It's hidden, but it is anointed with power. And the greater of them, of these apostles, will be some of the most unlikely individuals imaginable. In heaven, they are known. And the apostles have great humility. One of the signs of the apostle is they will have untold angels, thousands of angels working with them because of the call of God on their life. Many apostles have major territorial angels. I was in a place one time and a lady looked at me and she fell out. And I thought, what is this? She saw like clusters, angels all around me. I give God the glory. But this lady was overtaken by what she saw. I would say this. How do you know if a person is not an apostle? I'll tell you right now. The way you know that someone is not an apostle is because they want to be one. The way you know that a person is not a prophet is because they want to be one. The way you know that a person is not a true evangelist, they want to be one. The way you know that a person is not a true pastor, they want to be one. The way you know that a person is not a teacher, they want to be one. I'm talking in the kingdom of God. I'm not talking about an elementary school. Listen, understand this. I was asked, did I want to be what God has made me? And I said, no, I wanted to be a pro football player. You see, in the book of Acts, the 9th chapter, it deals with Saul on his way to Damascus. He was on his way to put some Christians in prison. He thought he was doing the will of God. In other words, he thought that was his calling. Don't get it twisted. It's not like he was doing something and thought he was doing the will of God. He wanted to be what he was. But there was a light, a revelation. He saw a vision. He saw Christ face to face. And that's one of the signs of a true apostle. It's hard for me to tell you what I saw when I saw Christ. But I would say this. I hear people say this about titles. This has to stop. The fivefold ministry are not titles. Hebrews 3:1. They are heavenly callings. A title is something you get for your car. It's not something that you get in the natural when it comes to spiritual offices. Displacement in the anointing. God is ushering in the anointing of the true fivefold ministry. God wants to take us to a place where the dark forces are. The apostleship can be a virtually wasted gift here on earth. If no one discovers the gift of God that is in him. Many apostles themselves may not even know that they are apostles. That's why I want to tell you the wise men found Jesus. If you have a concern what your calling is, seek wisdom. Seek wisdom. One of the signs of an apostle, they know your gift, regardless of who you are. That's why we have so many, quote, lay members. I hate that word. We have people that I'm just a bench warmer. It's like, you know, I'm just warming up the bench. This is my seat. For years, they sit in that seat and they never know their calling. They get a touch every now and then, but they never operate in their calling. This is not the work of apostleship. There has to be preparation for ministry. There have to be schools of ministries. Some people don't even know they are apostles because there's a certain time that God will reveal their identity. The mere word apostle is not important as the function is and the anointing that must be restored. So I was at a place one time and I told the people, don't call me apostle. Don't even call me prophet. Call me Roderick. My mama named me Roderick. I like it. Praise God. It means a great ruler. And a person that I'm trying to rule is Roderick. And that's one of the issues when the anointings and callings are misplaced in a local assembly. People are ruling one another. Many pastors are affected by the spirit of Jezebel because they don't understand the function of the pastor. They don't even understand the function of the apostle. Some say bishops, but a bishop is not an apostle. Praise God. It's an office, but it's not an apostle. So if you're pastoring, you have to understand the fivefold ministry, because if you don't, you're going to overlook God. You're going to feel like you are the head honcho, and then God would not be able to function in that particular local assembly because you don't have the revelation and understanding. A wise pastor, and I thank God for someone, they will open the door to apostles and prophets in their ministry. Many of you pastors, your ministry are in trouble because you have shut the door to the apostles and prophets. Listen, we can't help it if others have called themselves apostles and prophets and they were false. How many women said, I'm not going to get married because of a bad relationship? You still got married. You didn't give up on love. So it is with the body of Christ. You can't give up because somebody else is an imitator. Praise God. Jesus was the first legitimate apostle. I read to you Hebrews 3 and 1. He was the first to carry the proof of an apostle. Everywhere that Jesus went, apostolic miracles, supernatural manifestation was around him. He walked in the spiritual realm. All hell and all heaven would break loose wherever he was. True apostles and prophets are known in heaven. Listen, and in hell. I heard somebody testify one time. They said, hey, heaven knows me. I said, well, hell need to know you too. Praise God. Because, honey, you're not affecting anything because heaven knows you. That's good. But listen, there was a day when Satan was roaming. God said, where are you? What are you doing up here? Job 1 and 6, the sons of God came together and Satan came also. Satan was just roaming around looking for somebody. And after the question was asked to Satan, he said, I'm looking for somebody that I can devour. And Job was known in heaven. God said, he asks Satan, have you considered my servant Job? One of the ways you know that God has asked that question about you, all hell breaks out. Praise God. I'm telling you right now. Listen, hell knows you. I was in Chicago. Praise God. I was in Chicago, and my queen could tell you this, and we were going to preach. And it was a pastor from Africa invited me to preach. And there was a man on the street. And I parked my car to get my instruments out and so forth. And this man with an evil lurking voice said, what are you doing here? I tell you, the people that was with me, they kind of like, oh, my God. Oh, my God, they heard a demon speak. And in the revival, I was praying, and there was in those particular days, I had prayer lines. And now I just speak over the people. But I don't shun any part of ministry that God permits. And the lady came up to me, and she said, I'm going to kill you. And I mean, people got scared. Oh, they got scared, and it was something else. But I knew that this was a spirit. And that devil That devil had to be subject. And I love to see this. You know how some people fall backwards? This lady fell straight down, like this straight down, like her spirit left her body, just straight down. I said, my God, I commanded that spirit to loose her. She had a spirit of murder. And if you don't know your calling, you'll be afraid. You'll be afraid. See? And when you know your calling, you have less fear. Some of you are listening. Many of you are listening as far as Africa and many places and all over the United States. Who are you? You need to know who you are. Remember, Jesus was born, but it took wise men to discover him. So the true apostles have great authority. Heaven backs them up. The true apostle and the true seer prophet, heaven backs them up. Can't judge them by material wealth. And this is where people, this is what Satan does. Remember, he took Jesus up and he said up to a mountain, and he said, I'll give you all of this if you worship me. Many people are worshiping Satan and have taken their oil and cast it in for 30 pieces of silver. In other words, people judge whether somebody is called of God by money. Danger, danger, danger. Oh, yes, there's a time when God will explode financially upon his servants, but don't get it twisted. Don't judge an anointing by money. Don't do it, because you'll be caught up in the god of materialism. And the god of materialism is of the Jezebel spirit. Remember, King Ahab wanted some land, and his wife Jezebel saw the King Ahab crying on his bed. And she said, what's going on, honey? And he said, I see some land that I want, and this man won't give me the land. Oh, jellyback Ahab. This woman said, I'll tell you what I'll do. She killed the man. I'll take it. That spirit of Jezebel will take you. It'll take what God has given you, and it will use you like a slave. Many pastors have committed suicide because they sold their soul to Satan. And they got up to a height in their ministry, at least they thought they did. And Satan took their lives. Listen, that's why it's so important. I was teaching a class on leadership. My goal is Christ. It's not a big church. It's not materialistic things. It's Christ. That way, no one would be an idol. No one. I was asked a question one time, who's your favorite preacher? I said, Jesus. Praise God. Jesus. It doesn't get any better than that. All hell and all heaven would break loose wherever Jesus went. When Jesus went into a city, the entire city would be confronted and shaken in some way. Both humans and demonic leaders were intimidated by Christ. All the powers other than Jesus felt displaced because of the anointing on his life. You know, you'll know when a true apostle is present, because many times people think they have a takeover spirit because they feel somewhat intimidated, not by the person, but by the anointing. But if pastors don't get it, listen, pastors have to be very careful not to be intimidated by something that's different. Pastors embrace someone that you know is an apostle and prophet. Embrace them. And listen, they're not there to raise money. They're not there to be a member. They're there so that your ministry can be safe. You can have $1 million in the bank and a broke church. Praise God. I'm going to be right back after this. Hallelujah. Talking about the fivefold ministry, and I'm dealing with true apostles and true prophets. Do you know wherever Jesus went, the atmosphere would suddenly change? Storms would be peaceful. His authority over every kind of sickness and disease and demons was evident. Everywhere he went, on one occasion, 10 lepers cried out, and they worshiped him. The true apostolic will demand worship. People minute, many places minute everything down to praise. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. But God is not looking for praisers. He's not looking for another shout, another dance. Jesus said in St. John 4, the hour must come and now is when the Father seeketh the true worshipers to worship him in spirit and in truth. He's looking for worshipers. Jesus' authority was so evident until it shook the religious leaders of his day. And, you know, I was dealing with earlier, you cannot equate your natural abilities with the spirit. You can have a gift to talk to people, but it doesn't mean that you are a preacher. You can have a natural ability to do something. And although I believe that God will take our natural abilities and he will use them, He'll put oil on them. But we don't depend upon what we know. We depend upon his wonders. None of what Jesus had in his earthly body was a result of him knowing how to publicly relate to people. It wasn't about, they didn't have television. They had literature. It wasn't about any other natural element. It was all spiritual empowerment. All of the apostolic proofs were also evident in the 12 apostles. Matthew 10:1, Jesus called his disciples. He gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all sickness and diseases. We have to return back to what Christ is, his church. I say to every pastor across the nation, is his church. And if it's his church, it has to be his way. No other way but his way. Too much of displaced anointings and displaced powers. And if you have displaced anointings and functions, you cannot properly fight the enemy. God will properly position this apostolic move, not at the bottom of the mountain, but at the top. You see, Christ, before he began his ministry, he went into the wilderness to be tempted. Believe me, true apostles and prophets have been tempted of the devil. And when Jesus was on that mountain, Satan himself came to tempt him and try to reign over him in heavenly places. The true apostles and the apostolic move of God is a governmental anointing. And if this gift is out of place, then so is the government in our local assemblies. The apostle gift is a governmental gift. And whether it's inside or outside of the church, it does not cease to operate. You know, some folk get an unction. I don't call it an anointing. They got some kind of unction. It only works in church. It only works around church folk. If what you have doesn't work in the world, it's not of God. I would not take it back. It's not of God. Because if it's of God, it's going to work regardless of where you are. We don't have to have... nobody has to acknowledge you according to your spiritual gift. Nobody has to acknowledge you according to your function. That can become a distraction. But you and I have to acknowledge the anointing that is upon our lives. And when we do that, God will move. Some people love the to be known by their function. But it's not healthy. I mean, if my wife had to call me apostle and prophet, and she couldn't call me by my first name, that would be a miserable marriage. Praise God. But she can call me Roger, she can call me baby, and all those other names. I don't feel less. I feel greater. And when I call her by her love name, I can say Katrina, I may say Dove, and a whole bunch of nice little words. It doesn't diminish who she is. She's an anointed woman of God. She operates in the fivefold ministry. We are subject to the anointing upon our lives. She's not behind me. She's beside me. Praise God. It's going to take true prophets and wise men to uncover true apostles. And this is what God is doing, ladies and gentlemen. He's preparing and raising up apostles to possess this supernatural realm of government. See, the government is on Jesus' shoulders. And I'm not dealing with the governments of the world. There are supernatural governments over every government. There are opposing forces in high places. Where is the government of the church? It's upon the shoulders of Christ. Ephesians 2 and 20. The foundation is upon the apostles and prophets. Jesus is the head. The apostolic mandate is that of humility, intimacy with God. And the apostles carry, the apostles and prophets carry great authority and great power. Sometimes that anointing will operate as an intercessor of politicians, or even could be politicians themselves. God is loosing the apostolic in every place, especially the government. You're going to see there's going to be a move of God in the government. The apostolic is going to be an ushering in of that anointing in the government of this world, in many governments, because God is going to open the doors through the prophetic anointing. Through the seer prophet, many people in government, they're going to get so hungry until they're going to look for someone that will help them. There's going to be a prophet to apostle to presidents, a prophet to a congressman. I'm telling you, this thing is bigger than the four walls of the church. And we're going to possess the land, but we have to be in position to possess. You can't just go and possess something without being in position. You have to be properly placed. That's why it's important for every believer to be placed in a ministry where they can get the right spiritual revelation and understanding and clarity on what God is doing. Jesus came not just to die and rise from the dead. He came to establish his kingdom. So the apostolic is moving. It's moving out the land. Listen, there will be, this is what I want you to understand, there will be natural disguises for an actual apostolic anointing. Many will be women. I know this shakes some people. There will be many women who are the key for the church to being released into her full destiny. Many women operating in the apostolic. And they're going to be the key to ministries, moving in their power and their destiny and their anointing. Look at Daniel, for example. Daniel had an apostolic anointing on his life, and it positioned him in his influence. Esther and Joseph had actual positions. They operated from a influence beyond their particular position. King David was a good example of a presidential apostle type. King David. He had the highest spiritual authority and natural authority in the land. Listen, the apostolic will possess spiritual authority and natural authority in the land. Not only supernatural, but natural itself. This apostolic is moving, and the people is constantly increasing. I was awakened the other night, and God began to deal with my spirit concerning this. And I began to just grab paper, and I began to write the positioning of the apostolic, how it is increasing more and more among the nations of the world, and the Lord's house is going to be exalted above all others. And there's a reason, people, we haven't advanced. I'm going to show you something. There's a reason that there are many believers who are spiritually depressed. They feel displaced, and there's a displacing in their spirit. And they know there's something they should be doing, and they don't know what it is. They know that God has called, you know that God has called you to a higher calling, but you don't understand. And God is raising up apostolic Christians. And I'm talking about people that are going to the top of the mountain, carrying the apostolic authority. So many people carry apostolic authority and don't know it. So God is dealing with the displacement authority. I thank God for what he's doing tonight. I feel a resting in my spirit. And I thank God for sharing this. I'm going to get into it some more, but I just wanted to share this. If you have time, read Ephesians 4 and 11, and you'll have a deeper understanding of it. Listen, tomorrow night, I got about 35, 40 minutes left. Tomorrow, I will not be on the broadcast. Tomorrow, we will not be on the broadcast tomorrow. And next Tuesday, I will be on back on the broadcast. So tell your friends and tell everyone, Prophecy Alive will not be on. The broadcast won't be back on until the 20th. That's that Tuesday. Yes, the 20th of May. Praise God. And also we're going to be in Chicago. We'll give you more information about that on August the 2nd. And there are some things that God is doing. We're going to be with the Sisters Circle, and we're going to be giving you more information. So I want everyone to meet me and my queen, and many will be with us, and we're going to be sharing more about that. And also just want to continue to invite everyone. And you know someone that's in the city of Kokomo, Marion, Indianapolis, the surrounding places, Anderson, let them know about the School of Prophets. This is the school for the spiritually gifted. Every Saturday, 12 noon until 1:30 p.m. in the GMIC Chapel. This is at Grace Memorial Institutional Church with a fine pastors, Pastor M.L. Hall Jr. My pastor, I love him so much. He's so kind. You need to stop by there and see him. Sunday mornings, they are there at 11:45. I'm telling you, the power of God is so great there. And we love Pastor M.L. Hall Jr., me and my wife, and his lovely wife, and all of the saints there. School of Prophets, we are in the chapel, GMIC Chapel, 1417 North Delphus Street, Kokomo, Indiana, 46901. You have any more information for me or you need more information about the School of Prophets, give me a call at 317-832-0131. That's 317-832-0131. And you can reach me on Facebook and you can give me a call. And also, if the Lord has impressed upon any of you to lend your gifts and your anointing, give me a call, and I would be glad to talk to you. I would pray about it. We're looking for those who want to help in ministry. The exciting things are happening. Remember, every Saturday, and you that are in the nearby cities, it'll be worth the drive. School of the Prophet, School for the Spiritually Gifted. Every Saturday, 12 noon to 1:30 p.m., 1417 North Delphus Street, Kokomo, Indiana, in the GMIC Chapel. Also, every Sunday, I want you to meet us at our temporary location, the Gathering Ministries, at the Quality Inn and Suites, Sunday at 5 p.m., every Sunday at 5 p.m., 1709 East Lincoln Road, Kokomo, Indiana, 46901. At the Quality Inn and Suites. Every Sunday evening at 5. 1709 East Lincoln Road, Kokomo, Indiana, 46901. I'm so excited for what God is doing. And me and my Queen Katrina, we are praying for you. We love you. I'm so excited about what God is doing. My queen had a dream. We're in the process of many things. And when she dreams, I'm telling you, it comes to pass. I'm looking forward to it. And you will know when this comes to pass because it involves you. And we thank God for what he's doing. Listen, I'm going to take a break. And I'll be right back. If you want to talk to me, I'm going to be on for 30 minutes. We'll be glad to hear from you. I know you were blessed by the teaching, the 90-minute teaching on the fivefold ministry. 347-539-5173, press 1. I'll be right back in just a moment.
The mirror last night, but I don't like what I see. I'm looking at the reflection, but I don't like what's looking at me. Too light or too dark, or too big or too small, or always pulling off the measuring stick and forever coming up short. Don't be ashamed, for God has arranged worth more. A billionaire, exclusively engineered. Nobody is a nobody. God doesn't make mistakes. Nobody ever takes a place that doesn't exist in grace. We all may fall, some may stall, but all in all, God doesn't make mistakes. I was looking at the TV last night, and everyone's better than me. Big car, big house, big dreams are things my life won't see. Too shy or too bold, or too nice or too cold, or always looking at a half-empty glass, and always coming up last. Don't be ashamed, God has arranged. Worth more than a billionaire.
Oh, God, I have an 817 area code. I'm coming to you right now. Welcome to Prophecy Alive.
Hey, Prophet, how are you doing?
Wonderful, wonderful, Prophet Adrian.
You knew it was me, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, getting used to your voices. Praise God.
Man, it's such a blessing. I thank you, Lord. I thank the Lord so much for your anointing and the word that you gave tonight. There's such a level of excitement that I cannot explain in the spirit. And I don't know if anybody else feels it, but such a level of excitement. Things are coming. Things are changing. There are things that are happening in the spirit. And I just want to God for you, your anointing, man. I really do.
Man, I praise God for you and your anointing. I give God all the glory. And, yes, of course, I can feel the excitement. My brothers often tell me I'm real relaxed when big things happen. My queen was telling me when I really feel like something is about to rumble in the spirit, I get very calm. And that's what I sense so strong and in the Lord. I could feel you, Prophet Adrian. Yes, it's big. It's big.
It's big. I think last night was a kind of a preface for what's happening tonight, because you can't really walk into the true glory of God until you go into repentance, you know, like what Lance and his friend was talking about last night, and they start exposing the idols and things of that nature. And, I mean, last night was just such a, just like a preface of what we could accept tonight. It was like it was the appetizer for tonight, and tonight was the main course. And it's just an honor, and it's just a blessing just to stand up under the anointing that God has upon your life. Man, I'm excited. I'm excited, and I'm truly honored to even, you know, I'm truly honored that God even put us together so that I can feed off of this anointing too, man. I am, like, so excited. I'm not a man of a lot of words, but that's all I can say.
You know, you are a blessing. And last night I spoke to Lance and Janae, and I got some plan that's going to bless this broadcast. They were truly awesome. Me and my queen were talking about them. Janae went forth in prayer. My God. Praise God. And Lance went forth, and we had different ones call, our good covenant friend Julie, and oh, we loved so much. Denise came, and she began to sing to Julie, Sister Julie, and it blessed her. And if you're listening, Julie, my good friend, give me a call. I want to connect you and Denise. Denise is like our spiritual sharpshooter. I mean, she just stands back and she prays. And me and my queen, Katrina, we adore her. And we love everybody. We love y'all, Prophecy Alive. You all have been with us for a little while now. And Prophet Adrian, this past March, our ministry launched for 3 days. And pretty soon the people are going to see the video and of this event. I'm going to make an offer to the people. And we met so many, Prophet Adrian, our partners, when we went to Louisiana, and many of them came down. It was an event. I wish I could have known you, and I'm sure you would have came, but God is good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I would have come. Just be blessed, Prophet. Last night when Sister Julie was on, I just saw the angels of God. Like, it's almost like I saw her kneeling down on the floor, and she was weeping, and the angels came, and they spread their wings over her, and they covered her, and they began to minister to her. And, man, what was so exciting about it was, as soon as those angels covered her, there was a warrior angel that came and stood with his bow and arrow drawn, and he was looking around in all directions. He was looking for the enemy. He was protecting her. And I just want to let her know that God has her. God is covering her, and God has protected her.
Wow. I know she's going to hear this, and if she calls in before she gets off, most likely she's listening. I know she's being blessed by your words, Prophet Adrian. Thank God for you.
Well, that's all I got, man. You be blessed. I love
you. I love you too, man. The best is here. You be blessed, man.
It is. The best is here.
Yes.
So be blessed. Oh, let me tell you this.
Go ahead.
You said something last night about the best is here. The best is yet to come, but the best is here. I saw an 18-wheeler truck pull up in front of a large building, and the building had the gathering on the front of it. It was an 18-wheeler truck, and the truck had the best written on it. And men started unloading the truck, started coming down the ramp with boxes and provision and money and blessings and anointing. It was just so mind-boggling when you said that last night. And then when you said it again, it brought it back to my attention.
Listen,
so it is here,
and I know the Lord has said that. Do you not know my dad, before he took his flight to glory, Prophet Osing Owensby, we were driving on a highway. This is his dream. And he said he pulled off and went one way, and I pulled off another way. I knew then, years later, that he saw his going up. And he saw semis. Now, you, there's no way you could have known this. He saw semis of, it was everything from musical equipment, because we have a powerful music ministry. And he saw RVs. And your vision ties in with what he saw, because we understand ministry is ministry to the people. You know, people think the anointing comes on them just to make them look good. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted and so on. So the anointing comes on us to heal people physically, financially, spiritually, emotionally. And thank you for sharing that tonight before you got off, Prophet Adrian. That gives me great joy to know the time is now. Wow. Glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hayakapa Sheba. My God. God, I pray for wisdom and knowledge how to lead your people. Me and my queen. I pray for a heart of repentance that my goal would not be anything other than you, for your glory, Lord. Thank you, man of God. Go ahead.
You
hallelujah.
God shows me you with a breastplate of gold, real shiny gold. Mm-hmm. But he shows me, even with that breastplate, there's a cloak that's on your back, and that cloak is torn, and it's tattered, and it's ugly, and it's dirty. Excuse me. But that cloak represents humility. And no matter how God makes you shine in front of the people, there's always humility on your back. That's what God is showing me. He's always showing me that you're always
thank you,
humble.
Lord.
There's humbleness in you. There's humbleness on you.
Thank you, Lord.
You are a mighty warrior, and you have slayed many demons, and you have a right to stick your chest out. But you always remain humble in God.
Thank you, Lord. This is my prayer.
Yeah, he just told me to tell you that he sees your humbleness, and he honors your humbleness. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, God.
So you go forward. You go forward.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. You know, I've always... Go ahead.
All right. I said your humbleness allows the angels to come and minister to you, and it allows your angels to be at your disposal. That humbleness. See, a lot of preachers, when they start coming up, they forget to be humble, and they think they're untouchable. Because people put them up on a pedestal, and the money and the power and the position and the popularity starts coming. But then they fall real suddenly because they have no angel to catch them. But your angels, are at your disposal. That's what God is telling me. Tell them what you need them to do, and they'll go and do it for you.
I decree right now to every angel that is assigned to my life, and I decree right now that, God, you give me nations of souls, and that you give me and my queen and the staff and all those that are with us such a presence of the Lord and such a presence of love. We pray for souls. Ooh, Jesus. We pray for those on the highways and hedges. Send them. I loose every angel to get those that are broken and contrite, those that are hurting emotionally, physically, those that have been hurt by people that should have been what they are not. I pray for those, what we call broken homes, and those, I pray, God, angels, I loose you to go and get those that are captive. Open up the prison doors and set the captives free. And I decree, God, the love and the wisdom and knowledge and understanding upon me and my queen and our children and beyond. And I pray, God, for those that will come to help, ministries of helps. Go get it, angels. Ministries of helps, those that would pray. Those that will help us seek the face of God. I pray for souls, Prophet Adrian. I decree souls. I loose my angels. And I'm not looking for just one color. I'm talking about all nations, all nationalities.
That's it.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Man, you're blessing my spirit.
I love you. You be blessed.
I love you too. Thank you, Prophet.
You're very welcome. I'll get off this phone so other people can call in.
Bless you.
God bless you too.
Love you. What a word from the Lord. What a word. Prophet Adrian. And even what he said ties into my queen dream. Y'all don't know, I'm a crazy worshiper. I will, Jesus, I can see it. Oh, I can see the souls worshiping God. I can see the children. Thank you, God, for the little babies. Thank you for the miracles with the children. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Even those women that were taken, almost 300 women from their schools. Work a miracle, Lord. Work a miracle over in Africa, Nigeria. Work a miracle in the name of Jesus. I loose the spirit of angels to rescue in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. People, God is so good. God is so good. He's worthy of all praise. I'll be right back.
Thank you.
nothing without you. Don't you know, without God, we can do nothing. Without him, we will utterly fail. Without him, we are absolutely nothing. Don't you know that God is with you? Yes. Listen, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. Don't fear anyone or anything. Don't fear anyone or anything. God is with you. God is so with you until if you knew how much he was with you, you would never be afraid. You have overcome fear. Fear binds. Fear puts you in prison. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but this is what God has given us: power, love, and a sound mind." When Apostle Paul gave Timothy this word, Timothy was in the midst of stirring up his spiritual gifts. And Apostle Paul told Timothy, stir up your gifts. But in the midst of stirring up your gift, you need to know this, no fear. You have power. Say it, I have power. Go ahead, you say it. I have love. And I have a sound mind. Yes, you're not confused. You're not confused. There are many kinds of fear. But God has not given us, he gave us love, power, and a sound mind. The only fear we have, and that word means respect, is the fear of the Lord. That's a healthy fear, to fear God. And when we fear God, he does something. He blesses us. He keeps us. There's a song that I love. He keeps doing great things for me. He keeps on doing great things for me. Can you say that? Can you just say that? Say it. God keeps doing great things for me. He knows me better than anyone. God knows you. He knows your name. I dare you to lift your voices right now where you are and say, it's not this way. The way it looks, it's not this way. Things have changed for you, and I feel liquid fire now. Things have changed for you, young lady. I'm telling you right now by the power of God that you are an overcomer. Don't you let the devil make you think that it's over. Somebody, listen, you may be getting married and you may be feeling shaken by this. Listen, don't let nothing stop you from being happy. If you know God puts you with somebody, stop listening to your relatives. Stop listening to other folk. You obey God. You know, some people like to see people in adultery and fornication. They don't want you to be happy. If you're going to be happy and you know God put you with someone, go on with your bad self and be happy. Praise God. I'm telling you, don't you know that it is the will of God that we have abundant life? Don't let nobody steal your joy. Some of you are so sensitive until somebody can say something to you and it'll just make you feel bad. Stop that. Come on. God didn't give you the spirit of fear. I don't care who it is. If they say you can't do it, you can do it. If they say you're going to fail, you're not going to fail. It's just the opposite. Anything the devil says, don't you know it's just the opposite? The devil may make you think it's over. He may make you think you're going to die. You say, I will live and not die to declare the works of God. You're not going to die. You're going to live. People celebrating death. Speak life. Look yourself in the face in the mirror and prophesy to yourself and say, I speak life. You have to encourage yourself. We talked about that, how David encouraged himself. You say, well, man of God, I don't have much money. And Jesus had 5,000 people, over 4,000 people, and all of them were hungry. Praise God. But there was a little lad. There was a young man, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Jesus blessed it and fed thousands of people and then have had some baskets over. Let me tell you something right now. If you have just a little crumb, bless it. If you have just a little money, bless it. If you have an old putt-putt car, bless it. Praise God. If you have a little income, bless it. I dare you to start blessing what you have. If you can bless the little, God can give you much. Bless what you have. You may not have much furniture. Bless the furniture you have. Praise God. You may not have a lot of food. Take it out and bless it. Because when you bless it, you know what you're doing? You're decreeing a funeral to your lack. God help me now. That messed somebody up. I could hear you screaming. When you bless it, you're celebrating the fact that that's the last time you're going to have lack. When you bless what little you have, it's a celebration. That's the last time that I'll have just a little gas to put in my car. When you bless it, God's saying that's the last time you'll do without this and you'll do without that. All you got to do is bless it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, I will bless his name. Go ahead, I dare you to bless it. You may only have 2 pairs of shoes. Bless the 2 pairs of shoes. You may only have 1 suit, man. Bless that suit. Praise God. We got to bless it. See, the devil will have you looking at the lack of it. The devil will have you looking at he'll have you looking at one little thing you have. Don't you know there was a man in the Bible, several men, they were given talents. One was given 5, one was given 2, and the other was given 1. And the one that had 5 gained 5 more. And the one that had 2 gained some more. And the one that only had 1 buried it. Stop burying the little bit you have. Start blessing it. Praise God. Just go ahead and bless it. I feel somebody tonight. I feel somebody tonight. I think I'm going to go over 10 o'clock. Eastern time. I feel somebody tonight. I don't know. I may go over 15 minutes, but the Holy Spirit is telling me to wait a minute. My time is about 9:54 Eastern time, and I'm going to extend it a little bit. I'm waiting on the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody is being touched. Somebody's mind is being regulated. There's a new you being birthed out of you. Somebody have never known themselves. You about to meet you for the first time. You never had a chance to know who God is in you. You knew about the God in your grandma. You knew about the God in your mama and your daddy. You knew about the God of the Bible. But you need to know God lives in you. In him we live and we move and we have our being. And I believe God, and I can feel an anointing of the breaker tonight. And you've been searching and you've been searching and you've been searching, and it looks like you're going down for the third time, the final time. But God is saying the spirit of rescue is in the land. Don't get caught up in television and what the news is saying. Listen, the world is full of negative things, but I want you to know Jesus came that we might have life and might have it more abundantly. Can you do that? Can you just take your mouth and begin to praise God and say, yes, I'm living. I'm living. I'm living. The doctor gave you a bad report, but whose report are you going to believe? You don't believe what the doctors say. You believe what Dr. Jesus said. And with his stripes, we are healed. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. There was a conflict between peace, between you and God. But Christ came and said, peace be still. And that peace, I prophesy, I decree it, I declare it, that peace is yours, woman. That peace is yours, man. That peace is in your ministry. You feel like giving up. You feel like throwing in the towel. But I want you to know it's not over for you. It's not over for your ministry. Stand tall, pick up your bed and walk. You made the bed. You committed the sin. Why kill yourself? Repent. Just because you sin, it doesn't mean it's over. When you sin, you have an advocate. We have an advocate. We have a heavenly lawyer. You go to the Father and you repent. And then you go and sin no more. But some of us sin, but we don't confess the sin. And as long as you have unconfessed sins, let me tell you something. I'm not talking about standing up in church and telling everybody. But you got to confess. And when you confess, God is faithful. And he's just. Some of you won't confess because you're scared that somebody is going to react a certain way. Well, how did you react when you sinned? We don't think about our reaction to our sin. We think about somebody else. That means somebody else is more important to you than God's word. And when you confess your sins, he's faithful. I'm not talking about condemnation. I'm talking about when we confess our sins. He's faithful and he's just to forgive us. And then he not only forgives us, but he will cleanse us from unrighteousness. Some of you are suffering from guilt. You're still feeling guilty about your sins of the past. Well, whoop-it-doo. Welcome to the club. You, I, and everyone else have sinned. Romans 3:23, all have sinned. All. The bishop, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher, the musician, the deacon, the mother. Oh, glory. All have sinned and come short of God's glory. We need to recognize it's the glory of God. Yes, it's the glory of God that we need. I don't want to come short of God's glory. I want God's glory. I want his glory. Ooh, I want to walk in his glory. I want to walk and talk and breathe and move in his glory. Glory. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit right now. Yeah. You don't have to be in a church service. Right now. Go ahead. You've been asking God to fill you. Receive the Holy Spirit right now. What is my answer to complex problems? The Holy Spirit. What is my answer to my marriage? The Holy Spirit. What is my answer to the job? The Holy Spirit. What is my answer to my hard-headed child that's ran away, that's involved in drugs? The Holy Spirit. My daughter is selling herself. The Holy Spirit. You give me a problem, I'll give you the Holy Spirit. There was a man lame. He was laying down, and Peter and John was getting ready to go and pray into the temple. And they looked at this man. And you know what Peter said? He said, silver and gold I have none, but such as I have. He said, I have something. Come on, y'all. Woo-hoo. He said, I have something. And such as I have, I give to you. And what did he have? In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And when you tell somebody to rise up and walk, take your hand and help them. Peter took his hand, took the man by the hand, and he helped lifted him up. And the man started leaping and praising God and went to church, praise God, with Peter and John. I take you by faith by the hand, woman, man, young lady, young man. I take you by the hand by faith, and I help you get up. Get up. Don't you sit there. Get up. Don't you give up on yourself. Who are you to plan your death? Jesus already died for you. Hallelujah. 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 Come back to God. Come back. You notice I didn't say church. I said to God. Come back to God. You know him. Come on back. Healed you. As a matter of fact, listen, you could have been dead, but God healed you. Come back to him. Spend time with him. Anybody you spend time with in the natural, you get to know something about them. And people want to know God, spend time with them. I was a little boy, and I remember I would go into my room. I'm telling y'all my little secrets now. I would go into my room, and I would go into my closet. I would shut the door, you know, because I took God. I didn't know any better. I took God at his word, and I would make sure it was dark, and I would say, where are you, God? That's just a little boy. Where are you? And even that little childlike mind I still have, I search for him. And one day, I went in that closet, and it was like the presence of God surrounded my soul. And the presence of God was so strong. I said, God, don't kill me. I said, God, don't kill me. That's how awesome it was. God wasn't going to kill me, but I had no other words to describe the essence of what I felt. It was like somebody put a blanket around me, and though I did not suffocate, I felt uncontrolled. I couldn't control this feeling that I had. This is what God wants to do. He said, you draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. All you got to do is come to him. I just want him. I want his presence. Why? So that when people come in contact with me, they come in contact with God. My queen feels the same way. My queen Katrina. What? You should too. I decree that there's an anointing that's fallen on you that are listening from around the world. I pray that this day, whether it's morning or night, in some places it's the morning, and some places it's the night, but I want to tell you, I decree and declare from this day forward, the glory of God will surround you like a blanket. And I'm telling you, every place you go, glory is going to break out. I prophesy a breakout of glory, God's glory. Yes, when his glory is in you. You cannot help but to accept change. You know, so many people are so full of hate. That's because they have no glory. They gossip every day. They have no glory. Bigotry, hatred toward people simply because they're different. They have no glory. I pray that those that hate for no reason, that while they're laying down in bed, glory jump on them. You want to know how to pray for your enemies? Just say, let glory jump on them. Somebody want to argue with you? Just say, glory. Jump on them, glory. God said, bless your enemies. Don't fight your enemies. Don't argue with your enemies. You know, the scripture says a kind answer turns away wrath. Oh, I feel the anointing on the top of my head. God is doing something. I feel the anointing of God. Souls. Sometimes I get like this, y'all. You ever sit down by yourself and just, ooh, I feel it again. It's like I feel like oil is being poured over my head. God is not looking for people who are not willing to become nothing. You know, God can't use you until you become nothing, because God masters taking nothing and creating something. In the beginning, the earth was without form and void. Darkness covered the face of the deep. Out of darkness, he said, let there be light. Become nothing, and God will make a thing out of nothing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you believe right now that your life is changing? Yeah, you. I'm talking to you. Do you believe right now your life will never be the same? I couldn't tell people. I had someone said, what's going to happen tonight on the broadcast? I don't know from one minute to another. All I know that Roderick is not going to happen, but the Holy Ghost is. I see a paper that someone is holding from a doctor. And you've been having this report in your purse. God says you might as well listen, don't tear it up because you need a witness. What God has done in your body is not on that paper. Woo-hoo. Listen, I love you so much. God bless you. And God keep you. I stayed a little bit over. We're not beyond tomorrow. But we'll be back on the 20th, Tuesday. We're here Tuesday through Friday, unless the Lord says different. But remember, God has not forgotten you. This is Prophecy Alive. I love you.
God bless you. This is Prophet Roderick Owensby. You can reach me by calling 317-832-0131. You can also reach me on Facebook. Send all emails and prayer requests to ronetwork@live.com. Remember, prophecy is not dead. It's alive. Prophecy Alive, P.O. Box 2631, Kokomo, Indiana, 46904-2631. I want to hear from you. God bless you. Until next time.
I'm going to tell you what God just said to me. He said, use the fire.
Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Jesus.
I see an axe laid at the root of a tree. Oh, my God. God's about to cut some stuff down for you. Ooh, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
All that bad blood, He's going to give a blood transfusion in your family tree. There's some new people coming on the scene in your life. You better hear it.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
There's some new, there's a corporate company of people coming in your life. There's some women coming in your life, and some of them will be very young women. And I want you to begin to worship God. Get yourself somewhere quiet. This is a new day. Anything on your spirit you want to say to the nations or to me?
I had called you probably about two weeks ago, because you had spoke a word to me before, and it wouldn't leave my spirit, you know what I'm saying? Even, you know, you spoke something to me about a dawn, and somebody came, like a friend of mine, she said something to me shortly after that, you know what I'm saying? And I just want to thank you, you know what I'm saying? And I know, like, I see some things that are going on, there are some struggles, but God is telling me to tell you to push, you know what I'm saying, because it's something that you're about to give birth to, and I see that there's some hurt, and there's some that walked away, but it's all right, you know what I'm saying, because God said he's making those crooked places straight, and I just feel like God is releasing fresh fire into you tonight, you know what I'm saying, and I just see he's restoring. I just hear God saying restitution, recovery, and those things that was hidden, God said he's going to reveal those things to you. Ooh. And I don't know why, but I see some kind of building. God, I just thank you for what you're doing, oh God. And God, I hear you saying a turnaround, oh God. And God, you said that you're releasing new strength into him, Father, new revelation, oh God. I thank you for what you're doing, oh God, a refreshing, even for him tonight, God. Fresh fire, Father, in the name of Jesus, God. Yes, and Lord God, all slander, I tear it down now in the name of Jesus, God.
Yes.
Father, I destroy everything that's not like you, Father, in the name of Jesus, God. Yes. And Father God, everything that has tried to penetrate his life that's not of you, oh God, I dismantle it now in the name of Jesus, God. And Father, I thank you tonight, God. Thank you, Father, for the apostolic authority, oh God, in the name of Jesus, God. And Father, I hear you saying establishment, God. Thank you for the establishment, oh God, in the name of Jesus, God. And Father, you said many mysteries that you're going to show him, oh God. And Father, I thank you for the missing puzzle pieces, oh God, being revealed in the name of Jesus. God, I just thank you, Father. I thank you, oh God. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing, oh God. God, you said the mountain is removed. So I thank you, and I honor, and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Woman of God, I am holding in my hand, as you prophesy, woman of God, a book called Fresh Fire. There's no way you can know this. And I know the voice of God. And I was telling my Queen Katrina what I'm expecting for the souls and the nations.
Mm.
I not only prophesy, I listen to others. I thank you.
That he's blessing no more.